Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm back to Shmuel Beis. We are learning tonight, Perek Yud. Perek Yud of Shmuel Beis. And essentially, Perek Yud is all about confrontation with Amal. We'll see a little bit more about that as the Perek unfolds. It's not a long Perek. It's only 19 psukim, so I'm going to try to finish at night. So we'll move with these short Perek. Short Perek Yud is short, so we'll try to move through and we'll get to Perek Yud Hashem next week. Okay, so Pasuk Aleph, Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi acharei vayomer melech b'nei Ammon vayimloch Hanun b'nochto. So the king of Ammon died, and his son becomes the king in his place. Now, we're not yet told the name of the king of Ammon, if you remember it. It's not one of those kind of things that I usually remember. But if you look at Pasuk Beis, you see his name, and his name will be important. Pasuk Beis, Vayomer David, Esa Chesed Im Chanun Ben Nachash. So David, the king of Ammon died. His name, you see, was Nachash, Nachash HaAmoni. And Amadu. Kasher also imadi chesed, just like father, her current king, meaning the king that just died, the deceased king. He did chesed with me. Vayishlach David biyad avadov el. So David sent a group of his servants to go be Menachem, to go pay to King Hanun over the loss of his father. Vayavolav de David Eretz ben Ammon, and the servants of David come to the land of Ammon to pay this shibakol. Now, so we need a little background here. And David here is referring to some sort of a chesed that Nachash did with him, right? With his father. Kasher asa aviv imadi chesed. Right, David says that the deceased father Nachash did some sort of a chesed with me. We're not told what the chesed is. Yeah. Good. Okay. Good. So good. So it's referring back to Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Beis, and in Perek Chaf Beis, we're in the midst of David fleeing from Shaul. And the pasuk says, the psukim say in Perek Chaf Beis over there of Shmuel Aleph, that David runs away to this place called Me'aras Adulam, and his family joins him, and that'll be important. You'll see in a minute. But his family joins David. David's family joins him there, and not only does his family join him, but the pasuk says all sorts of different Nebuch type people join him. Right? The psukim there say, Kol ish matzok v'chol ish asher lo noshe v'chol ish mar nefesh. Everybody that had a pekel, everybody that had all the tzibrachin of people came to join David in this place. There were about 400 people, the Gemara said, and the pasuk says, that joined David. David leaves there and he goes to Mitzpeh Moav. He goes to Mitzpeh Moav, and he tells Vayomer el Melech Moav. He tells the king of Moav, Yeitze na'avi ve'imi itcheb. He says, do me a favor. This is what he says to the king of Moav. Do me a favor. Would you mind if my father and mother come and stay by you? Right? David's on the run. You know, the last thing he needs is his elderly parents slowing him down, you know, schlepping along. So he says to the king of Moab, would you mind if my parents, you know, stayed over here with you and Moab? Arasher Eida Mayas Eliyahu, until I can figure out what Hashem has in store for me. And what happens? Vayanchem es p'nei melech Moab, vayeshvu imo kol yemei hayos David b'metzuda. The pasuk says that he led them over there and they stayed with Moab. Now, what the psukim don't say explicitly, but what the Mefarshim tell us happened here is that although the king of Moab originally took in David's family, he then proceeded to kill them all. And he wiped out David's entire family with the exception of one brother who escaped and ran to Ammon. And Nachash HaAmoni, who was the king of Ammon, he saved this brother. He took him in and he provided him with shelter and he saved him. And that's the chesed that Nachash HaAmoni, Nachash, the king of Ammon, did with David and his family. So that's the backstory here. Okay. Now, we'll see in a minute that this story does not turn out too well for David. And if you look, let's just read a couple more psukim and then we'll come back and explain. So, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomru Sarei v'nei Amon el Chanun Adonehem. So the officers of Ammon turn to Chanun, their master, and they say to him, Hamechabe David esavicha be'enecha. Do you think David is really coming to honor your father? Kishalach lecha menachamim. He's sending these people to be menachem you. He's sending these people to comfort you. Halo ba'avor chakor esair. Ula ragla, ula hofcha. Sholach David esavadav elecha. Nah, he's sending these people as spies. These guys are not coming to be menachem you. It's under the guise of nichum avelim. It's under the guise of paying a shiva call, of a chesed. He's really sending these people as spies. They're trying to check out the land. And the Radak says lahofcha, to like turn it over, right? Because they're trying to investigate. They're trying to really analyze and investigate the land thoroughly and try to figure this out. And the Malbim points out here that they had a pretty good argument. Why? Because David never wanted to do anything while the father was alive. If David was trying to pay back a chesed, so where was he when your father was alive? He waits all of a sudden until your father dies, and now he comes to pay back the chesed? Come on. He must not be sincere. He must not be genuine. He must be trying to pull a fast one here and spy on your land to defeat you. Pasuk Dalet, Vayika Chanun es Avdei David, Vayegalach es Chatzi Zikonam. So Chanun takes the servants of David who came to pay the Shiva call, and he shaves off half of their beard. Vayichros es Madveihem Bachetzi, and he cuts their clothing in half. The Farshim explain that he basically, from the waist up, he cuts off their clothing. Ad shesosehem, until their bottom half, vayishalchem, and he sends them away like that. So he cuts their beards. He cuts off half their beards. Presumably that means half of their face. I assume that's what it means, right? I don't think he cut their beard in half, but I think it means he shaved half of their face and left the beard on the other half. And he cut off half of their clothing from the top up. I think the beard was this way. I think down the face this way, half the face shaved and half the face, bearded. That's what I think he did to them. And the clothing, I think the Mefarshim explained, he just basically cut off the top half. And, presumably they were wearing some kind of robes. It's not like us. We wear a pants and a shirt. You just take off their shirt. They were wearing some sort of a robe. So he cut the robe in half and he tied it around their waist, maybe, so that they were covered. Their private area and the bottom half was covered. And then their tops were exposed. It was basically a big disgrace, how he sent these people, and he sent them on their way. The Malbim explains here that what's the punishment of the half? Cuts off half their beard, cuts off half their clothing. Why the half? So the Malbim says, because essentially, you had here these people arrived. Now, they were claiming they were coming to do a chesed, nichum avelim. The servants were saying they were coming to spy. So it sounds like that Chanun is not 100% sure. So he says, I'll make a pshara. I'm not going to punish them 100%. So I'll punish them halfway. I'm not going to shave off the beard completely. I'll shave off half their beard to embarrass them, but also to do it the halfway is because it sounds like, you know, he wasn't really sure. They were claiming one thing, they were claiming the other thing. So, like, you know, we'll make a compromise. Sent them packing. I don't know. Sent them back. Go back to David. Now, they didn't want to go back to David here. Why? Because the Mefarshim say they were embarrassed, right? So they didn't want to return to David. Mitzudas David says this in Pasuk, like, hey, they were embarrassed. They were mortified. So they didn't want to go to David. So they kind of just were, I don't know, they were staying in a hotel somewhere. Vayagidu leDavid. But, you know, the word got back to David that this is what happened. Vayishlach likrasam. So David sends a message to these servants. Ki ayuan ashim nichalami me'od. They were mortified. They were embarrassed, very embarrassed by what happened to them. They didn't want to return. Vayomer ha'melach shivu v'yirecho. So David says, listen, I know you're embarrassed. I know you're disgraced by how you look. Go sit in Yericho. Ad yitzamach zikanchem. Until your beard regrows. Bishavtem. And then you can come back. And then you can come back. So this is fascinating. Obviously, by the way they looked, they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed by the way they looked. Now the clothing is not such a big deal. So you get them another robe, right? You get them another pair of clothes. But obviously the beard, you can't grow back a beard overnight, right? Now the Radak is a fascinating comment of the Radak here. Keep in mind the Radak lived in France around the 1100s. So it's like the time of the Balei HaTosfos, basically. Now he's one of the Rishonim. And the Radak said, you know, the Radak asks, what's the big deal? Just shave off the other half of the beard, right? You know, it's like, you know, you have a beard and you make a shaving mistake, you know, so what do? You shave the whole thing off and you start again, right? So why didn't they do that? Now we'd wear a mask. Yeah, unfortunately, right. Now we'd wear a mask. Okay, but they didn't have the masks back then, you know? Or the CDC was telling them not to wear masks, you know, who knows? So what do? So the Radak says, shave off the other half of the beard. What's the big deal? So the Radak says, no. He says, that's our custom, right? Meaning in our country, people shave their beards. The Radak says, this is in France in the 1100s, 1200s. People shave their beards in our countries. But he said in those times of David HaMelech, nobody shaved their beard. No Jewish men walked around without a beard. What kind of thing is that, right? So for them to shave their beard completely would have also been a disgrace. So it wasn't just a disgrace that they had half a beard. Had they shaved the beard completely, it would have also been a disgrace. So they were really stuck. They couldn't shave completely. It's embarrassing. Not everybody else has beards, right? And they couldn't leave half a beard. It's also embarrassing. What are you going to do? So therefore, the only option is to wait until the beard grows back. So that's what David said. Go to Yericho, hang out, wait until your beard grows back. You know, you give it a couple months, the beard will start to grow back, and then you come back.
So maybe it was this way, because then
this way. Maybe.
If it's this way, then this would still be longer.
Yeah, but then maybe they could trim it and make it even. You know. Yeah, I don't know.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Rabbi, if they really believed that these people were spies and that they wanted to overthrow the country, why not just kill them?
That's a good question. Now, again, it could be, and, you know, and I think the Malbim kind of, you know, implies this, that there was no proof here, right? There was no proof. You know, they had certain arguments. You know, again, the servants came and said, you know, why did David wait until your father died? So it must be that he's trying to spy. You know, because if he wanted to pay back a chesed, he would do it while your father was alive. So there was an argument. You know, they had some sort of an argument. But, you know, Hanun apparently was not 100% convinced. So he was convinced enough to disgrace them a little bit, you know, on the chance that they were spies. But you're right. You know, presumably if they were caught red-handed and he knew for sure that they were spies, he would have just killed them. Right, but he didn't know for sure. You know, this is what his officers were suggesting. So he said, listen, you know, on the chance that they're spies, I'll disgrace them, I'll throw them out, and that's it. That'll be the end of it. You know, but I guess he wasn't ready to kill them, you know, because again, you know, presumably he realized that if he kills them, then David's really going to get angry, right? Especially if David was really trying to do something nice, and now he kills his servants, you know, David's going to be mad. I don't think he wants to anger David necessarily, although we'll see David, of course, you know, is quite upset by what happened. But But that's, I think, why, you know, what happened here. Okay, now let's go back for a minute to some of the Mefarshim and Pasuk Beis. And the Mefarshim say, you know, why did this happen? This didn't turn out. This story did not turn out all that well for David. I mean, we're going to see they're going to go to battle. David will win, of course, you know, with Hashem's help. But, you know, this didn't really turn out okay. So what happened here? David was trying to do something nice, right? Nachash HaAmoni had done a chesed with David's family. David was trying to pay back a little bit. He was trying to pay a shiva call. You know, it seems like he was trying to do the right thing. So why did Hashem allow this to happen? If David was trying to do the right thing, why did Hashem allow this to happen? So the Radak says that we have to bear in mind here what the Torah says about the Ammoni. And the Torah says in Dvarim Perek Chav Gimel, Lo Yovo Ammoni U'Moavi B'Kal Hashem, that an Ammoni and a Moavi are not allowed to join into Klal Yisrael. And the Pasuk says, even the 10th generation, they're not allowed to join. Why? Because of the story, when we read the Chumash, we read the story, we're coming out of Mitzrayim, we come to Ammon and Moav, and they don't help us. They're Ammon and Moav, they don't help us. So, and that's the story with Bilam, right then also. So because of that, Ammon and Moav are punished. They're not allowed to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. But the Pasuk also says, very important, Lo Sidrosh Shalomam V'Tovasam Kol Yamecha Le'olam. You're not allowed to seek peace with them. You're not allowed to seek Shalom and to seek a good relationship with them, which essentially means that you're not allowed to make any sort of treaty with them. You can't band together with them. You can't call out in peace. So the Radak says that when David sent a delegation to go and be Menachem Avel, that was a violation of Lo Sidro Shalomam V'Tovasa. That's a violation of that pasuk. He wasn't supposed to do that. David thinks to himself, listen, you know, the father did a chesed for me. I want to pay back the chesed. So the Radak says, you can't be such a big tzaddik. You know, the Torah asks for something. The Torah prohibits something. The Torah tells you what's right and what's wrong. You can't start making your own cheshbonos. Under this circumstance, maybe it's okay. Here it's fine. No, the Torah says, Lo sidro shalomam v'tovasam kol yamecha le'olam, period. That's it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Okay. So you're onto something here. So that's what the Radak says. That's why the Radak suggests that this did not turn out well for David because he did something wrong. He shouldn't have done this. This was a violation of Lo Sidro Shalomam V'Tovasa. Now, the Malbim says not so pashut. And the Malbim says the pasuk of Lo Sidro Shalomam V'Tovasa is under normal circumstances. But if they do something nice for you and you want to return the favor, that's not a violation of Lo Sidro Shalomam V'Tovasa. And says the Malbim, that's what was happening here. David wanted to return a favor. The father, Nachash, had protected his brother. David wanted to be Makir Tov. So Nachash died. He wanted to send a delegation to be Menachem Avel. Right? That's a nice thing to do. And he says exactly like Aaron just suggested, that maybe David did not do it during Nachash's lifetime, because then it would seem like you're mamish making a treaty. He did something good for you. I'm going to do something good, you know. I'm going to pay back the favor. We're going to get together. We're going to have a treaty. We're going to have a covenant. No, that's usur. So therefore, he specifically waited until he died and did it in a different form, what we would call nichum avelim, paying a shiva call. And that way he felt that maybe that's not going to be a violation of Lo Sidro Shalomam V'Tovasa. Now at the end, how does Pasuk Beis conclude? So Pasuk Beis concludes, Vayavo'u avdei David eretz b'nei Ammon, that the avodim of David approach b'nei Ammon. So says the Malbim that perhaps the conclusion of that pasuk alludes to the fact that even though technically maybe David was in the clear here because he was not trying to make a treaty or make a pact. He was really just trying to return a favor. Nevertheless, it did not look good. Vayavo'u avdei David el eretz b'nei Amon. All people saw was that there was a delegation coming from David to b'nei Amon. And they said, wait a minute. Normalization, right? Peace treaty. That's what they thought. So even though that wasn't really what was happening, and David maybe did have a good excuse for sending it, but nevertheless, it didn't look good. It looked bad. It looked like he was sending out, you know, he was trying to make a peace accord, and therefore that's why David was punished. That's what the Malbim suggests. So he was okay. He was in the right a little bit, but nevertheless, it looked bad, and that's why he was punished. And again, he's David HaMelech. So he's judged, you know, Kechut HaSayra. Hashem judges him very stringently. Okay, so let's go back now to Pasuk Vav. So the men are embarrassed. David tells them, hang out in Yericho until your beards grow back. I thought it was interesting that, you know, that they couldn't even come. You know, I would have said, listen, you know, sneak back into town in the middle of the night and stay home. You know, just, you know, you'll stay home for a month or 2 months. Stay in Yericho. You know, they couldn't even come into the city. But you see the extent of how embarrassing it was, right? Of how embarrassing it was, you know, to have this, to have their beard shaved in this way. It was so embarrassing, you know, they couldn't even come into the city. You know, maybe somebody's going to see them. You know, that's how embarrassing it was. And obviously this reminds us of the terrible embarrassment that many suffered in the time of the Holocaust. That the Nazis knew, right, that very often the Jewish men, not all the Jewish men had beards, but many Jewish men in Europe had beards, and this was a great way to embarrass the Jewish men, you know, shave their beards, you know, shave it publicly. I just saw my son came home from yeshiva. My son is doing Mishnah Yomi. He's trying to keep up with Mishnah Yomi. So my 9-year-old. So my 12-year-old is also doing it. So my 9-year-old, he finished brachos, so they made a big siyum in yeshiva for all the boys that are doing Mishnah Yomi, finished brachos. So he came back with a Rabbi Moshe Bamberger Shlita, who's the Mashkiach in Landers. So he wrote, he's written several nice, beautiful art school books. So one of them is Great Jewish Photographs, I think, or Great Jewish Portraits, something like that. It's different famous pictures of Gedolei Yisrael and momentous events, and very interesting pictures that he has, their collection of pictures. And he's got a little snippet, a little thought, you know, by each picture. So one of the pictures, I think the Gadol is Rav Avram Grzynski, if I'm not mistaken. And there, the picture is a picture of him during the Shoah, and he's beardless. He just has a mustache. Now on the other side of the page, he has a picture of him, you know, with his big, you know, he has got a big beard, you know, regal looking beard. And in the other picture, you know, he has no beard. He has just a mustache because the Nazis forced him to shave. So they forced him to shave his beard. And that was you see a picture of him, under those circumstances. That was the terrible embarrassment that they forced many, many Jews to endure in Europe. Okay. So now, Pasuk Vav. Now we read about the aftermath of this story, of this humiliation of David's men. Pasuk Vav, Ayiru b'nei Amon kiniv ashu b'David. So they see the B'nai Amon, you know, they get wind of the fact that David is not very happy with them because of what was done to his men. Vayishlechu B'nai Amon, and B'nai Amon realized that, you know, David's probably going to come and fight with them. They need some reinforcements. So the B'nai Amon send Vayishkeru, and they hire some soldiers. Right? They don't think they can fight David on their own. So they hire some soldiers to come help them out. Vayiskeru esaram beis rechov, v'esaram tzova, esrim elef ragli. So they hire 20,000 soldiers from these two places, aram beis rechov, aram tzova, v'es melech ma'acha elef ish. Another 1,000 soldiers from the kingdom of ma'acha, v'ish tov, Shnei Masar Elefish, and another 12,000 men from Ishtov. Ishtov was another, another king that had a nation nearby. So they turned to some of the nearby nations. We have four other nations here: Aram Rehov, Aram Beis Rehov, Aram Tzova, Melech Macha, and Ishtov. And he's got, we're talking, let's say, 33,000 men that Amon hires to try and come and defend him against David. Vayishma David. So David hears that they are fortifying themselves, and he realizes, okay, it's time to fight. Vayishlach es Yoav, ve'es kol atzava hagiborim. And he sends Yoav, his general, and the entire army, strong army. He sends out to fight with Moab. Pasuk Ches. Vayetzu b'nei Amon vayarchu milchama pesach ashar. So the b'nei Amon come and they set themselves up for battle across from the gates of the city, right? I guess the capital city of Amon. Taram tzova urechov v'ishtov umacha levadam basoda. And these other 32,000 hired soldiers, they are in a different place out in the field. And they are setting themselves up there for a fight. Mabon points out that that Amon was fairly weak, right? The other soldiers, the 32,000 hired soldiers, that's a nice strong force. So they could be out in the open. Amon, 33,000, thank you. Amon was a little bit weaker. They weren't as strong as these 33,000. And therefore, they had to be in the city, the fortified city. They had to have the extra protection of the city. Okay. Vayar Yoav, ki haisa lapnei ha-melchama miponim u-me'achor. So Yoav now is a general. He's strategizing, and he sees, okay, I got two fronts here. Right? I have the Bnei Amon in the city, and I have these four kings in the out in the open field. I have two battle fronts. I can't fight them all, I can't fight them both at once. And Vayivchar mikol bechurei Yisrael vayaroch likras Arab. And he decides to take the bechurei Yisrael, which are the select soldiers, like the special forces, the chashuva soldiers. And he takes them, they're a little bit of a stronger force, and he goes to fight with them out in the field by Arab. Why? Because those are stronger, right? Those armies were stronger. So he took his stronger men to go fight those men out in the field. Pasuk Yud, v'yes yeser ha'am nasar biyad Avshai, which is Avishai Achiv, and the rest of the nation he appoints under his brother Avishai, and the rest of the army is also soldiers, but not the special forces. They're the regular chevra, and he sends them with Avishai, his brother. And he sends them to the city to fight with Amon again, because Amon is the weaker force. So he sends the weaker soldiers from Bnei Yisrael. Yeah. Avner. Yeah. Vayomer. And Yoav says to Avishai, Im techezak aram mimeni. V'ha'yisali li Yeshua. So he says, do me a favor. We're going to be in communication. I'm going to fight against Aram out in the field. If Aram begins to overpower me, we'll call for reinforcements and you'll come help me out. And if I hear that Bnei Amon is defeating you and you're struggling against them, we'll come help you out. Right, so we have two battle fronts. We're each going to fight on the different fronts, but we're going to keep an eye on each other, and we're going to help each other out as necessary. Pasuk Yud Beis, Chazak v'nis Chazak. Right, we're going to be strong, says the say the Mefarshim, and you should also be strong. Be'ad Ameinu uvi'ad Orei Elokeinu, v'Hashem Yaseh Hatov be'enav. What a line by a military general, right? So he says we should be strong, be'ad Ameinu on behalf of our nation. As the Mefarshim say, the Radak says here, we have to daven that our people are not captured, right? Be'ad Ameinu, our nation, the people are not taken captive, number one. Number two, Be'ad Arei Elokeinu, we should daven for the cities. That even if the people are not captured, but Ammon, they can conquer the cities and they can take them over and they can settle in the cities. And if they settle in the cities, they will no longer be Arei Elokeinu. They're going to be Arei the Elohim Acherim. They're going to bring their Avodah Zarah into the cities. Right? So right now, our cities are cities of God. Right? Cities that we worship the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chas v'shalom, they're going to take over the cities. They're going to bring their Avodah Zarah. It's going to be Arei Elohim Acherim. So we have to daven for that. And then the end of the pasuk, Vashem Yaseh Atov Be'inov. Whatever Hashem does, that's for the best. That's for the best. Right? As they say, you do your best, and Hashem does the rest. And Hashem does the rest. As the Metzudas David points out, he was telling his brother, we have to accept Hashem's judgment with Ava. Whatever Hashem decides, that's what we have to do. You know, just a beautiful line by a general, right? Halavai, all the generals. You know, I know Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of firm people in Tzahal, but I'm not sure if before every battle, you know, you have this rallying cry. Imagine before every battle, they would say this pasuk, right? Chazak v'nis chazak. It's a great rallying cry for Tzahal as they go out to fight against the enemies of Bnei Yisrael. The Malbim says also that the double language here, he understands it a little bit differently than the Radak, that the Bi'ad Amenu Bi'ad Orei Elokeinu so refers to the two types of preparation for battle. Bi'ad Amenu, you have to prepare for battle in the natural way, right? You know, strategizing, preparing ourselves for war, making sure we have the right ammunition, we have the right things that we need. Bi'ad Arei Elokeinu refers to the spiritual preparation to make sure that when we're going out to battle, we're doing it l'shem Hashem. We're not chas v'shalom doing, you know, going out to battle for some other ulterior motive to gain more land or more property or the spoils of war. No, chas v'shalom, we're doing it for the sake of Hashem to protect Bnei Yisrael, to protect Am Yisrael. That's why we're doing it. And Hashem, Yaseh Atov Be'inov, based on our preparation, based on how we prepare, the more we do things L'man Hashem, the more we do things L'Shem Hashem, the more Hashem is going to help us. The less we do things L'Shem Hashem, the more we focus only on the natural and not on the spiritual, Hashem is going to take that into account as well. So that's how the Malbim understands that Hashem doing the good in his eyes means according to our preparation. The more we prepare, the better, the more Hashem is going to help us. Sorry? Yeah, presumably, right. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayigash Yoav v'ha'am asher imod la'milchama ba'aram vayanusu mipanav. Yoav approaches with his army, and they see Yoav and his army, and they get scared, and they flee. They run. They run for the hills. Not only that, the Malbim says, even Ammon runs, right? They see, meaning the ones in the field saw Yoav, and Ammon sees from the city Yoav's army approaching the field, and everybody just scatters. Ammon ra'u kinas aram, right? I jumped the gun a little bit. That was Pasuk Yudalad. Bnei Ammon sees that Aram has fled the battlefield, right? So much for the 33,000 hired soldiers, right? Maybe they can get their money back. But they see that they fled the battlefield. Vayanusu. And now they also, Vayanusu b'nei Avishai. Vayavo ha'ir. So now they run back into the city. They shut the gates. They run back into the city. They're petrified. Vayashav Yoav me'al b'nei Ammon. Vayavo Yerushalayim. So they say, okay, forget them, right? You know, they're scared of us. Well, let's go back to Yerushalayim. And they go back to Yerushalayim. So now Aram sees, you know what? You know, okay, maybe if we gather back together in numbers, you know, maybe we can defeat Bnei Yisrael like that. Pasuk Tezayin, Vayishlach Hadad Ezer, Vayotze Es Aram Asher Me'ever HaNahar, Vayavo'u Chelom, Vishovach Sar Tzivo Hadad Ezer Lifneihem. So now they send out this this other camp, and they try to approach and to fight with Klal Yisrael. Shovach was this mighty general that they said, you know, let's appoint him. Maybe he'll be successful against Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Zayin, right? You got the David. So David hears that, okay, Aram has not completely given up. Now they're trying to regroup and they're trying to appoint another general to lead them. David hears what's going on. So David says, okay, that's it. You know, we're going back out to battle. And he gathers all the Jewish soldiers. They cross the Yarden. They approach this place called Chalom. And they go to battle, David against Aram. Now David's here. Now David comes. Originally it was Yoav and Avishai, and they ran away. Everybody ran away. But then when they regrouped and they came back, so now David hears and he says, I'm going myself. Forget this. You know, I'm going to go myself, and I'm going to show them who's in charge over here. And Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayonos Aram Mipnei Yisrael, Aram recognizes that they have no chance, and they turn around and they retreat. Vayarog David Me Aram, Shivameos Rechev, Vyarboim Elef Parashim, kills a lot of people, 700 chariots, 40,000 soldiers. Yeshovach Sar Tzevo, he kava Yamasham, he kills this mighty general that they had appointed. David kills him. And the Mefarshim all discuss that in Divrei Hayamim there are different numbers, and they try to reconcile the different numbers. Pasuk Yutes, Vayiru Chol HaMelachim Avdei Hadadezer Ki Nigfu Lifnei Yisrael. So they see that, okay, we were just wiped out. You know, Bnei Yisrael, they mopped the floor with us. Vayashlimu Es Yisrael. So they come out to make peace. They come out, the rest, whoever's left, they come out to make peace with Klal Yisrael. Vayavdum. And they become slaves. They become slaves to Bnei Yisrael. And now Aram recognizes, that's it, we're done. We can't fight anymore and help out Amon. We have no chance. We stand no chance against Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so this is the end of David's confrontation with Amon. We'll stop here for tonight, Amir Tz Hashem.